Welcome to the lecture, and as you see on the screen, on our way to, the great Roman philosopher says, homo viator, we're on our way. Depends on the destiny we are looking for. In this case, we're going to look at a few mountains in Israel where Jesus met a large crowd of people. Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, that means the circle, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. So he made an appointment with them, specific mountain. We don't get the name of the mountain in Scripture. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So eventually Jesus came to this big group of disciples, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some of them doubted. 18 and 19, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Can you grasp this idea? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is the universe. Jesus is a somebody. Go, therefore, the one with all the authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. This is a universal command. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And then a wonderful promise. And lo, I am with you always. Till when? Even to the end of the age. This is a privilege. He's got an assignment for each one of us. So let's look at some of the mountains. This is Mount Hermon. I've been to the top a few times. They even have a cable car to take you up. Snow-capped all the year round. It borders Lebanon and Syria and Israel. So where did Jesus meet with them? We don't know. It could have been Mount Hermon. We don't know. And then Mount Gilboa. This is a beautiful mountain. It's got rich history. This is where Paul and Jonathan died. Did he meet with them here? The Bible only says it's on a mountain. So where did Jesus meet with the 500 plus followers? We don't know. This is Mount Carmel. I'm taking the picture from the top. The Baha'i Temple there. There you can see Haifa. Did he meet with them somewhere here? More pictures of Carmel. And Carmel is quite a few miles long, kilometers. So let's travel with this dirt road. I want to show you another site, Muraka. Muraka means fire in Arabic. And this is where fire came down when Elijah, after preaching the law, demonstrated the gospel by bringing a sacrifice to the altar. He also slew the false prophets. This, of course, is typologically eschatological of what is going to happen in future with the last Elijah message. Could it be here, Loretta? Is this the mountain where Jesus met with 500 more people, followers? We don't know. I hope one day we'll find out. What mountain can be seen from the precipice of Nazareth? This is where they wanted to push Jesus down the cliff. At the end, you see a mountain. This is Mount Tabor, the Mount of Transfiguration, according to tradition. And they've built a beautiful church to illustrate the story of Elijah and Moses and Jesus. Could this be the mountain where he met the people? We don't know. I'm so glad we don't know anything, everything. Or was it near to where the Beatitudes were spoken? I kind of prefer this site. It's beautiful here. You can see the sea and the vegetation. Standing but a step from his heavenly throne, Christ gave the commission to his disciples. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, he said. So this is where he made this tremendous statement. All power. Do you need somebody to help you? Christ has got all the power you need. Go ye therefore, because I've got the power, and teach all nations. It's not a local church, not a local message. It's a global, universal message. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world. It's his command. And preach the gospel to every creature. Gospel in Greek, euangelion. Eu is the word for good. Euangelion, angelos, is messenger. Message. The good message. That God loves sinners and are prepared to forgive us. Again and again the words were repeated. Go, go, go. That the disciples might grasp their significance. And may the Holy Spirit touch our hearts, because he also speaks to us. Go to the brokenhearted, to the grieving, to the poor in spirit. Upon the inhabitants of the earth, high and low, rich and poor, was the light of heaven to shine in clear, strong rays. And each little light combined makes a blazing manifestation. You can only use your little light. Others will also use there. And eventually, the world will glow with the light of the gospel. The disciples were to be co-laborers with their Redeemer in the work of saving the world. You cannot do it alone. He's got to help you, and he's got to work for you and for me. Don't underestimate the little things in life. As the poet says, little drops of water, little grains of sand, makes the mighty ocean and makes the mighty land. The commission had been given to the 12 when Christ met with them in the upper chamber. This is an interesting sight. So many things happened here. This is the place where the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now to be given to a larger number. Here, he told them of the go, but now he's going to give it to a much bigger crowd. Not 11, but 500 plus. At the meeting on the mountain in Galilee, all the believers who could be called together were assembled. So here you've got the interested people. Of this meeting, Christ himself, before his death, had designated the time and the place. And he's designating a time and a place for you and me to meet him. Important moments in life. The angel at the tomb reminded the disciples of his promise to meet them in Galilee. Over and over and over, this has been promulgated. The promise was repeated to the believers who were gathered at Jerusalem during the Passover week, and through them it reached many lonely ones who were mourning the death of their Lord. So this was the first go. Tell the mourners, the disappointed ones, Christ wants to meet us at Mount so-and-so at a certain date. So the message went out to collect this 500 plus people. I was here when they discovered Magdala, Here you can look at the excavations. Do you know which lady came from Magdala? Loretta, where in the Bible does it mention the number of people who were to meet Jesus in Galilee? This is Magdala, where Mary Magdalene used to live. She wasn't a very good woman, but she was the first to preach the resurrection of Christ. Our past does not matter with him. It is the now that matters with Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren. This is a huge crowd. At once, of whom the greater part remain in the to the present, where Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, but some have fallen asleep. Walking over the ruins where Mary Magdalene lived, I thought of the big crowd that came here to Galilee to meet Jesus and to listen to the greatest commission ever given to you and me. They've built a church close by, and I took this picture of Jesus and Mary. And Loretta is standing here also in the museum at Magdala, looking at the enlargement of coins discovered here. And on this you can read the Greek, where it speaks of Tiberius and also King Herod Antipas. Those of you that can read Greek, there it is. So this was a very important discovery to identify the place of Magdala. With intense interest, all looked forward to this interview. They had the date, they had the place. They made their way to the place of meeting by circuitous routes. Why? Coming in from every direction to avoid exciting the suspicion of the jealous Jews. So some come, I think, via Berea, Jordan, others via Maris, the sea, and different routes. Here they come, spread out. I hope we're going to look at the History Channel one day in heaven to relive these experiences. With wondering hearts, they came, talking earnestly together of the news that had reached them concerning Christ. Can you see the groups of people speaking about Jesus? I wish we could speak to him a little more. At the time appointed, more than 500 believers were collected in little groups, knots, on the mountainside. Can you see them? Eager to learn all that could be learned from those who had seen Christ since his resurrection. Please share with us your experience. You've been with Christ. We want to hear more of him. From group to group, the disciples passed. Can you see them visiting these little groups? Telling all they had seen and heard of Jesus and reasoning, I love this, from the scriptures as he had done with them. Yes, Cleopas, I want to tell you what Jesus told us on the way to Emmaus from Jerusalem, sharing the story of Jesus. This, I think, was the most important meeting with Jesus and followers in the New Testament. Thomas was there on the mountainside, recounted the story of his unbelief. People, I want to tell you, I wasn't a believer. I doubted everything. And then he tells them how Jesus swept away his doubts. What a meeting. Suddenly, Jesus stood among them, and all eyes were on Jesus. No one could tell whence or how he came, but here he was. Sometimes he appears very suddenly to us in different guises. Many who were present had never before seen him, but in his hands and feet, they beheld the marks of the crucifixion, and they realized this is the real Christ. His countenance was as the face of God, of because he was God and man, 100% God, 100% man. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Can you see the people falling down and worship the God-man? Seeing a little of his glory, we will see more of his glory when he comes the second time. But some doubt it. And it's interesting in my research, I discovered that James, his stepbrother, and the other four of them, also doubt it. But when you read in the first chapter of Acts, after this meeting, they were converted and James became the leader of the early church. Never give up on people. I know we are in a hurry to see our children converted and our friends. But there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. Doubters lose much because of their unbelief. There will always be doubters. Maybe you are doubting whether God can save someone like you. Believe that he can. This was the only interview that Jesus had with so many of the believers after his resurrection. He had interviews with individuals and small groups, but here we have a large group, and Jesus interviewed them. So 500 plus people listened as he gave his last orders. He came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me, all authority, in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28, verse 18. The disciples had worshipped him before he spoke. But his words, falling from lips that had been closed in death, thrilled them with peculiar power. They remember the dead Christ, and here he speaks to them. We're going to check the History Channel one day. I cannot wait to go to heaven to get all this exciting salvation news. What an exceptional moment. Somewhere in Upper Galilee, he was now the risen Savior. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Many of them had seen him exercise his power in healing the sick and controlling satanic agencies. And now he is there. Maybe some of them who were cured were also there. They believed that he possessed power to set up the kingdom at Jerusalem, power to quell opposition, power over the elements of nature. He had stilled the angry waters, Sea of Galilee. He had walked upon the white crested billows. He had raised the dead to life. Now he declared that all power was given to him. His words carried the minds of his hearers above earthly and temporal things to the heavenly and the eternal. Oh, what a message! What an experience! Experience. So wonderful to study the Bible. It's so rich, so full, so comforting. They were lifted to the highest conception of his dignity and glory. When he spoke, they were lifted up in their minds to the highest conception of his dignity and glory. What a moment. He wants you and me to experience this as well as we study his word prayerfully. Christ's words on the mountainside were the announcement that his sacrifice in behalf of man was full and complete. Do you believe that he died for you and that your case has been fully completed in his heart? The conditions of the atonement had been fulfilled. The work for which he came to this world had been accomplished. What a price he paid to save us. He was on his way to the throne of God, to be honored by angels, principalities, and powers. They were waiting for Christ to come to receive these adoration and honors. He had entered upon his mediatorial work. He's our advocate, clothed with a boundless authority. He gave his commission to the disciples. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I, the mighty ruler of the universe, am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen, amen, amen. If God tells you to do something, he empowers you with his power. I've experienced this in my life. Maybe you too. If you haven't experienced yet, go and give love and kindness and comfort to people around you. The Jewish people had been made the depositaries of sacred truth. They had the monopoly, the only people who had the truth about the gospel. But Pharisaism had made them the most exclusive, the most bigoted of all the human race. How sad. God wants us to share the beauties of his gospel, of his love, of his kindness, of his forgiveness. Don't have a monopoly of the truth you have received. Their dress, customs, ceremonies, traditions made them unfit to be the light of the world. You know, this Jewish customs could creep into the lives of Christians today. The gospel is not attached to a culture. They looked upon themselves, the Jewish nation, as the world. Never be exclusive. Please be inclusive in your outreach to people. But Christ commissioned his disciples to proclaim a faith and worship that would have in it nothing of caste, or country. It's universal. Don't couple this to Jewish customs. A faith that would be adapted to all peoples, all nations, all classes of men. That's why the New Testament was written in Greek, as well as the Old Testament. In that time, everybody could speak Greek. And there was a stigma attached to the Jewish nations. So Jesus made the gospel universal. It suits every culture, no matter who you are. And please don't lock up the gospel in your culture. It's multicultural. Where were they to begin their work? Here were the people who crucified Christ. Do you think Christ had enough of them? Ah, I appreciate his unbelievable kindness and love. Jerusalem had been the scene of his amazing condescension for the human race. The God of heaven became flesh in Israel. Here he had suffered, been condemned, being rejected. The worst treatment any person ever experienced was experienced by Jesus at the hands of his people, the culture he accepted in those days. The land of Judea was his birthplace. There, clad in the garb of humanity, he had walked with men. What a condescension. Coming up from his eternal divine glory, walking with sinners. I love this. Few had discerned how near heaven came to earth when Jesus was among them. The incarnation of Christ, and I did a series on this, you can get this from AD, is such an unbelievable, wonderful study. At Jerusalem, the work of the disciples must begin. So, my friends, go, but start at the most difficult part of this planet. In view of all that Christ had suffered there, and the unappreciated labor he had put forth, the disciples might have pleaded for a more promising field. Please, Lord, can't we start somewhere else, Samaria or Damascus? But they made no plea. When Christ told them, "You start at Jerusalem," they said yes. And if God asks you to start sharing your love at a difficult situation or people, don't complain. Go. The very ground where he had scattered the seeds of truth was to be cultivated by the disciples. Seed was sown. Now the cultivation must take place. The seed would spring up and yield an abundant harvest. Sometimes working for Christ seems so difficult and unpromising. In their work, the disciples would have to meet persecution. You can expect this. Through the jealousy and hatred of the Jews, it happened. Their master endured it, and they were not to flee from it. Don't be an escapist. Do the work, how difficult it may be, because he is with us. The first offers of mercy must be made to the murderers of the Savior. What a Savior! Those who murdered him, go to these people and reach them with the gospel. And there were in Jerusalem many who had secretly believed on Jesus. He had these in mind. And many who had been deceived by the priests and rulers. He wanted the disciples to reach these people and bring the good news to them again and again and again. To these also the gospel was to be presented. Everyone must get an opportunity, and another one, and another one, and another one. They were to be called to repentance. This is part of the gospel. The wonderful truth that through Christ alone could remission of sins be obtained was to be made plain to guilt-ridden sinners. While all Jerusalem was stirred by the thrilling events of the past few weeks, the preaching of the gospel would make the deepest impression. The time was right. Everybody was talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. The time was right to start right there. And this is Damascus, the ancient wall of Damascus. And you can read about Paul who escaped from this little window. But the work was not to stop at Jerusalem. It was to be extended to the earth's remotest bounds, universal. Every single person must get to know the good news and make a decision. Our work is just to witness. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. To his disciples, Christ said, "You have been witnesses of my life of self-sacrifice in behalf of the world. You have witnessed my labors for Israel. Although they would not come unto me that they might have life, although the priests and rulers have done to me as they listed, as they wanted to, although they have rejected me as the scriptures foretold, they shall have still another opportunity, another opportunity, another opportunity of accepting the Son of God." God wants everybody to be saved, to be with him in his eternal glory and peace and prosperity, a better place without death. So please, my disciples, invite these people again, my murderers, to accept my grace of salvation. You have seen that all who come to me confessing their sins, I freely received. And quite a few came to him. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is the good news. If you know somebody that's given up on themselves, tell them Jesus has not given up on them. They just have to come as they are. All who will may be reconciled to God and receive everlasting life. What an invitation. To you, my disciples, I commit this message of mercy. Now you've got to carry on. It is to be given to Israel first, and then to all the nations, tongues, and peoples. It is to be given to the Jews and Gentiles. All who believe are to be gathered into one church, a new church. The church of Christ. Thus Christ gave his disciples their commission. He made full provision for the prosecution of the work and took upon himself the responsibility for its success. Success is not your problem. It's the problem or the challenge of Christ. Sometimes we want to have credit for what we've done. The credit belongs to him who gives success. And the Spirit and the bride, his church, God has got a remnant church, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Everyone who hears the invitation is to repeat it. Whatever one's calling in life, don't know what you're doing. His first interest should be to win souls for Christ. You cannot preach, but you can say, good morning, how are you? This is part of the gospel. Show a different attitude. The disciples were to begin their work just where they were. And you can be kind to people just where you are. The most unpleasant people, be pleasant to them. Be forgiving. Let them see Christ in your attitude and your modus operandi. The hardest and most unpromising field was not to be passed by. I've had many surprises where I thought nothing would happen here. But then I see the grace of God changing ugly people into kind people. In our families, there may be souls hungry for sympathy, starving for the bread of life. Each one of us can do something. The humblest worker, moved by the Holy Spirit, will touch invisible chords. You can't see the chords, but you may touch those chords, whose vibrations will ring to the ends of the earth and make melody through eternal ages. The greatest and the most marvelous experience of my life were the times when I was down and somebody kind came to me. This is part of the gospel. There are so many despondent people. Just a little hug, smile, a kind word. They need it. To take his yoke is one of the first conditions of receiving his power. If you take his yoke upon you and go, you also receive his power. The very life of the church depends upon her faithfulness in fulfilling the Lord's commission. Go, go, go. And my friend, if you know of somebody this very moment that needs a little uplifting, a little hug, go, go, go. This is the commission God gives us. Let's do it. And he's going to empower us. To neglect this work is surely to invite spiritual feebleness and decay. Spiritual feebleness and decay. Where there is no active labor for others, love wanes and faith grows dim. If you are kind to people, you will be vibrant. If you just look into yourself and your own comfort, you will be miserable. The gospel is to be presented, not as a lifeless theory. People don't want to hear theories, but as a living force to change the life. You can be the gospel by just being kind. Smile to people. God desires that the receivers of his grace shall be witnesses to his power, to its power. In Christ is the tenderness of the shepherd. There are many, many wayward sheep today. Be a shepherd to them. The affection of the parent. Some grew up without love in orphanages. Be a parent to them. Caring. And the matchless grace of the compassionate Savior. He wants to pour this into your heart so you can share it with others. The wonderful love of Christ will melt and subdue hearts. What a thought. When the mere reiteration of doctrines would be accomplished, nothing. I don't say don't preach doctrines, but start with kindness and then bring the deeper theological doctrines to people. Isaiah 41, comfort. You can hear this in the Messiah of Handel. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. There are so many lonely, broken people. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Maybe you need to phone somebody who lost a loved one. Look out for the traumas in the lives of people and contact them. Verse 9, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Bring something positive to people. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say that the cities of Judah, behold your God. You've got nothing to display, but he is there to display his kindness to your friends. Verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. In the Middle East you can see the shepherds. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. What a picture of Christ, the Good Shepherd. He wants you close to his heart. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Tell the people of him who is chief among 10,000 and the one altogether lovely. This is what Solomon wrote in Songs of Solomon, Chapter 5, verse 10 and 16. Words alone cannot tell it. Let it be reflected in the character and manifested in the life. You have to walk the walk. Not only talk the talk. Christ is sitting for his portrait in every disciple. God has been predestined. God has been predestinated everyone to be conformed to the image of his Son. God wants us to be a little better. Allow him to do it for us. Romans 8:29. In everyone, Christ's long-suffering love, his holiness, meekness, mercy and truth are to be manifested to the world. You must advertise his characteristics. It's so easy. Start doing it. All his biddings are enablings. Be a pleasant person. You'll enjoy a full life. All who consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God will be constantly receiving a new endowment of physical and mental power. Something to think about. The inexhaustible supplies of heaven are at his command. Christ gives them the breath of his own spirit, the life of his own life. You know, we are capable of much higher spiritual performances. The Holy Spirit puts forth its highest energies to work in the heart and mind. May you pray the prayer, God, make me willing to be willing. The grace of God enlarges and multiplies their faculties. And every perfection of the divine nature comes to their assistance in the work of saving souls. If you start caring about people, longing for them to be saved, you will experience the power of heaven working in your life. Through cooperation with Christ, they are complete in him. And in their human weakness, they are enabled to do the deeds of omnipotence. We are underestimating the power of God working through us to uplift people. The Savior longs to manifest his grace and stamp his character on the whole world. And you must be part of this army. We are his purchased possession. And what a price he paid for us. And he desires to make us free and pure and holy. Allow him to do it for you. Though Satan works to hinder this purpose, yet through the blood shed for the world, there are triumphs to be achieved that will bring glory to God and to the Lamb. Christ will not be satisfied till the victory is complete. And as Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When you're in heaven one day, he will be satisfied. All the nations of the earth shall hear the gospel of his grace. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Daniel 7:27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to who? To the people, the saints of the Most High. I love to visit as many sites, biblical sites, in archaeology. I was at Ashkelon, and while I was there, I thought of the following verse. Isaiah 11 verse 9, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine all the tons and tons and billions of tons of water covering a great area? He wants the knowledge of his love to be as enormous as the sea that covers certain parts of the planet. Sunrise at Palmyra. This is the place where people come to see sunrises and sunsets. While I was here, I was reminded of another sunrise. Isaiah 59 verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. He wants to rise in all his glory in your dark life, my friend. And he wants you to be a light to those who sit in darkness and depression. Isaiah 52 verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. God is watching your feet, your shoes, as you walk to broken people. Who brings good news, who proclaim peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. I don't know what shoes you are wearing, but let these shoes take you to people who need your love your kindness. Some people can only be reached by some people. And you can only reach people that nobody else can reach. Verse 9. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places, for the Lord has comforted these people. Too many sad people. We have to bring them something to make them glad. Verse 10. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The end of the millennium, the entire plan of salvation will be panoramically displayed. And then everybody will acknowledge that God is just. Standing here at Galilee, I was wondering how fruitful was the testimony of the 500 followers of Christ. We'll have to check the History Channel one day. But they, as Paul says, took the message to the entire ancient world. Question: how fruitful and successful will be our testimonies? Just be kind to people. Think more of their pain than yours. Father in heaven, somewhere at the mountain, in Israel, 500 plus people listen to the words, go and tell. Help us to go and tell people there is hope. In Jesus' name, Amen.